Welcome to the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. Shaping Portsmouth is a collaboration of key Portsmouth businesses, transforming Portsmouth together.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. I'm here with Mark Bamfield from Southern Motor Contracts. He's a managing director there and a partner with Shaping, and we're really curious to know a little bit more about Mark and what happens. Welcome to the podcast, Mark.
Thank you.
Did I say your name right?
Close enough. I get called lots of things.
Say it for me.
So I say Bamfield.
Bamfield, okay.
But I actually think probably from its roots and its heritage, it is Bamfield.
Okay. But. Well, thank you for confirming that. It's great to have you here today. For those who don't know about Southern Motor Contracts, would you like to just tell us a little bit more? What do you do?
Okay, so I'll start from the beginning. So a company was founded in 1988 by my dad. Started as car sales and very quickly getting into business contract hire or leasing, as some people know it.
Okay.
Went from there and moved into don't need to sell the cars, just need to lease the vehicles out.
Okay.
Cars went into cars and vans. Leasing went into daily rental and long-term leasing. That then went into what we call fleet management, which some of your listeners may or may not be aware of, which I can divulge a bit more on.
Okay.
And now the business, we try and call ourselves just a one-stop shop for vehicle needs for businesses, really. If you've got a vehicle, whether it's one car, one van, or whether you've got up to sort of 250 vehicles, we say that you can use us for anything you need. You shouldn't need to go anywhere else.
Okay. And so it's really evolved then from when it was first set up.
Yeah, it has. As I say, I think the needs of businesses changes over the years, particularly now. You know, it's safe to say that we're in a tough business environment.
Okay.
So people's needs change, whether they want to buy a vehicle, long-term lease a vehicle, or actually they want to keep their money in the bank and not buy anything. And they also don't want to sign up to a 2, 3, 4, 5 year traditional lease on a vehicle.
Yeah.
So they might then just say to us, well, we need something for a temporary contract, or we've got someone on probation period, so we need something for a week, or we need them for 6 months. So we had to change.
Sure.
To ensure that the customers we did have serviced with everything, and then any prospective customers that we were taking on, we could fulfill all of their requirements, short, mid-term, long-term.
And where are your customers based?
The majority of our customers, it's probably safe to say, are Sussex, Surrey and Hampshire.
Okay, so you're in Haven, is that right?
We're in Haven, yes.
Okay, but you deal with businesses wherever
all
they need
all over
you.
The UK. Even we have customers all outside of the UK who have workers in the UK. So you'll see, well, you probably wouldn't see, you wouldn't know them, but we have vehicles driving all around the UK. So we've got sort of 2,000 vehicles now on the road. And so that's cars and vans, and they just go where the drivers need them to go.
Okay.
But in terms of our customer base, probably the majority are based around the south.
Okay. So what are the benefits then for businesses to be leasing vehicles?
Big thing is cash. You know, let's say a new van, you need a new van for your employee who's starting. You know, that van, if you go and buy it, is £35,000. Mm. A lot of people don't have that money sat
sure.
in a bank account. So leasing keeps those monthly payments or the upfront payment down. It's regular then monthly payments. We like to call it fixed motoring, because if you take then the maintenance package and things like that, you know that every month you've got X amount of money coming out of your bank account, whether it's £300, £400, £500 a month, and you've got your maintenance included. All you've got to do is just insure the vehicle.
Yeah.
So fixed cost motoring is a big advantage. I can go into the accounting reasons for it, but because there's been a change recently, I'd probably let the customers speak to their accountants and get their advice from them rather than take advice from me. But there's no one size fits all for any customer, I wouldn't say.
Okay.
But certainly leasing, in terms of not having to own the asset, is a benefit sometimes for some businesses.
And great that businesses can come to you and you've got so many different solutions for them.
Yeah.
So many different options.
Yeah. And you know, again, a lot of businesses, it's harsh, I wouldn't want to say, I wouldn't want to categorise. So there's a lot of businesses that have different needs, and some may not want a brand new van for that worker. So they can say to us, well, have you got anything that's 2 or 3 years old that you can save us a bit of money on? And also, you know, that person might have a bit of a checkered history in terms of their driving ability, let's say. And they might say, well, I don't want to put them in a brand new vehicle.
Yeah.
So can we, and again, that's a big part of what we do. You know, we might have an ex-rental vehicle or an ex-lease vehicle that we say, yeah, you know, we can help you with that for another 2 or 3 years. It's 3 years old, but most people say, well, that's fine. I don't mind.
Yeah.
We wouldn't give out any old piece of turt, that is for sure, because that ends up just costing us more money and the customers more headache. So we're quite specific if it's a used vehicle. But again, I think the big word that we try and focus on as a company is flexibility.
Sure.
And, you know, there's not been many times where I've had to say to anyone, I can't do that.
Sure.
I say yes and then...
Find the solution. Say yes, work backwards.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier.
Yeah. So talk to me about, when did you join the company?
I joined in 2015.
Okay.
I was on the phone to Dad and he was struggling, said, oh, someone's just left. And his director was going off to pastures new as well, and I could sense there was a bit of stress in his voice, and I don't normally hear that.
Okay.
And I said to him, do you just want me to quit my job and come and work for you? I know nothing about cars at this stage,
yeah,
or vans, and he said yeah. So
wow.
I did. I just handed my notes in.
It wasn't part of the plan, you know.
No, mucked up his plans, to be honest with you.
Okay.
but my aim was come in, give him some relief, and if I like it, obviously I can hopefully add some value to the business for him. But actually, I wasn't particularly enjoying what I was doing anyway, so I had no real career path with what I was doing. So I had no issues doing it. And it's funny because I'll jump on a step. So 5 years after I joined the business, we had that horrible situation, which was COVID.
Okay.
And obviously pandemic, lockdown, and so on and so forth. And Dad had hit an age where he said, do you know what, I don't know that I want to do this anymore. And obviously he said, well, but now you're in the business, you've scuppered my plans a little bit.
Okay.
So he presented me with an option of either buy the business or I'm gonna have to sell it and you're gonna have to work for someone else. And I thought, well, I don't really want to work for anyone else now. So after lots of meetings, lots of debt, I bought the business in at the end of 2020, as we came out of one of the lockdowns, don't know which one it was.
Okay. It's a bit hazy that time now, isn't it, when you look back?
Well, yeah, I have a really vivid, quite a good memory of Dad and I. We didn't negotiate. He told me what he wanted for the business because that was his retirement plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I didn't want to negotiate. That was the market price. And if I wanted it and the benefits of having the business, I knew I had to pay it. So we did that. We went through all the documents and we sat there on a Thursday afternoon, all in masks, spaced out around this big boardroom table, and I promise you the pieces of paper that I had to sign, there must have been nearly 200 agreements to sign because of the way we structured it.
Okay.
And it was an intense couple of hours of just sign. And then that was a Thursday. And then on the Friday, we all came into the office and I was like, what do I do now? Do I tell you what to do?
How does it work?
and all my co-workers that I'd worked with that were pure co-workers, colleagues, friends, I now had to manage them and sort of be their boss.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really odd transition.
I can imagine.
And probably one I still struggle with now because obviously they still work there. And only in the last 18 months would I say I've managed to switch off a bit more in the office of being that friend that...
Sure.
And actually adapt, you know, and it's taken nearly 4 years probably. It took me 4 years. And over the last 18 months, I can finally say, actually, there's a job to do, there's bills to pay, there's customers to please. When we go out and have a beer after work and for a Christmas do or for the football, that's fine. But during the working day, I actually have to be this person now.
Of course, have your boundary around that.
Yeah.
So it isn't easy. And I think it does take time to become like a really good people manager and a leader, I guess.
Yeah.
And especially I can imagine the dynamic because you'd been like on a similar level almost.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're at the...
Yeah.
The kind of top,
So I think I've done it. I think I've transitioned now and have found a happy medium because, you know, also it's safe to say from when Dad started the business and run the business through the years, business now is completely different.
Yeah.
You know, with red tape, with how you have to treat employees.
Sure. like the boundaries, culture,
yeah. everything. And I'd like to think that at 40, I was a bit old school when I learnt to work.
Mm-hmm.
As an estate agent, it was my first job, but had old school bosses that taught sure. me the right way. You know, you stand up when someone walks in,
yeah,
and you greet them. You stand up. You don't. And if the phone's ringing, and you drop what you're doing, you answer the phone.
Yeah.
And so I have that kind of ingrained mentality. Into me. And it's interesting to see the mix of people now in the world.
Yeah.
So I think probably it's a slight benefit that I took over when I did, because obviously Dad would have. No disrespect. He was very much not stuck, that's wrong. He worked in a way that
sure.
he had worked for however many years.
And that's all down to the environment that he first started working in. And like, you're always a product of that, aren't you? And your conditioning. And I guess, yeah, you've lived in a different world, haven't you, at a different time.
Yeah.
So you can bring all of that, those skills to managing your team now. So talk to me a little bit about why you've joined Shaping. So towards the end of last year, mm-hmm. you joined us as a partner. And yep. I just wondered, like, what was the kind of motivation behind that?
There's probably the honest answer.
Yeah, we love honesty here, Mark.
As a business owner and mm-hmm. for the business that we like to attract, local business,
mm-hmm.
I felt like it was an important step for our social governance.
Sure.
I generally did. I thought it was a good way to get into how can I do more for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And Shaping definitely gives you lots of ideas what you can do to be involved in the community. Mm-hmm. And also, again, I hope no one takes it the wrong way, the selfish business owner aspect of it that wants to grow my business. Mm-hmm. A lot of your partners and your other members mm-hmm. are customers of mine already.
Okay.
And right. there's people that I'd like to have as prospective customers.
Sure.
You know, and as I say, that is the harsh reality, the selfish side of being a business owner.
Well, I don't think that's selfish. I think that's smart. You know, if you want to deepen your connections to businesses that already your customers, being in a room with them with a different hat on and a different kind of energy behind it is great. And being in a room with potential customers is also
yeah.
great.
Yeah. So yeah. I see a bit of an opportunity. And again, your listeners and you and anyone that I talk to takes it however you want to take it, but it's as it's meant. I genuinely believe when we take on a customer, maybe not the ones and two vehicles, because mm-hmm. obviously they kind of service themselves to an element. You know,
yeah.
once they've got their lease vehicle, they've got it for 3-4 years. But the bigger fleets who we do look after, don't need to name names, the bigger fleets we look after, I genuinely believe as a local provider, we do the best job that anyone could do for them.
Okay.
And I genuinely believe that.
Yeah.
And I see some of the prospective people at Shaping
mm-hmm.
and think, I could do what we do for our current customers for you.
Mm.
Just need you to listen to me for 5 minutes
yes.
at some point and just give us an opportunity.
Yes.
So I didn't go into it. I'm not, as much as I say, it was not selfish. It was a business decision.
Yes. Yeah.
I do it in the fact that I know we can help. And I
yeah.
know we can do a good job.
Sure.
And I thought this was a good way for me to say, yeah, absolutely, from a social aspect, what more can we do?
Yeah.
And two, from a business aspect, is there prospective people there? So that was, yes, that was my motivation
yeah,
to join.
Well,
and
no,
I hope people don't take it the wrong way.
I love that honesty. I think, you know, you're a business first and foremost, aren't mm-hmm. you? And making sure that you are, like, thriving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really important. Like yeah. How many jobs do you create for people?
We've got 20 staff employed
yeah.
And looking to employ more. We're just taking on our first apprentice. So they're joining us next week.
That's great.
And again, that is only listening to people at the Shaping conferences
mm-hmm.
and people I talk to that actually apprentice opportunities are great.
Yeah.
You know, they're great for the business. They're great for the apprentice themselves.
Yeah.
And actually, I really like the thought. I spoke to, again, one of the other partners and talked to him. Said, do you know, we've had some really good apprentices that have come through, shaped them and moulded them how we wanted. They've got no preconceptions. You know,
yeah.
this is their first job.
Yeah.
And I like that idea because, as I say, I have old school values in a lot of what I do,
mm-hmm.
But I also like fresh ideas.
Yeah.
Well, okay, this I can teach someone how I would like them to respect our customers
sure.
and the values
like the
of the
foundations.
Business. Foundations. Yeah, absolutely.
Get the foundations right, yeah.
But also listen to their fresh ideas and, you know, talk. quite like listening to some of the waffle that some of the youngsters come out with. It entertains me on a daily basis.
Yeah, well, it's like a little insight, isn't it?
Into a different world.
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
But that's really important, I think, because that keeps the link then, doesn't it, between the different generations.
Yeah.
I'm so pleased to hear that you've got an apprentice. That says a lot about you and how you like to work. And you said a bit about like that social value kind of impact. And I was just thinking of that analogy that you said about people coming to you as a bit of a one-stop shop.
Mm-hmm.
And shaping is a little bit like that in terms of what it can offer in terms of its social value, because we have all of these different programs. So it's like, however you want to get involved in shaping, like whether it's education, whether it's business, whether it's learning about apprenticeships, like we have something to offer all businesses that want to be part of it.
Yep.
It really kind of struck me when you were saying that, that I was thinking, oh yeah, actually, that's a little bit what shaping is like.
Yeah. So I think by doing that, whether it's shaping, whether it's Southern Motor Contracts, whether whoever it is, by being that one-stop shop, you kind of capture your customer at that point, because they don't need to go anywhere else. If shaping are doing a good job and introducing people to all these different aspects, people don't need to go and look anywhere else.
Yeah.
You're ticking all the boxes.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go to one person for education or one person for charity, one person. If I've got someone that I can go to and, you know, and I've spoken to Dave many a time now, and he knows what he's talking about. He covers all areas. So I don't need to talk to 10 different people. I just can sit in front of one person. And that's what we, as I say, as a business, try and capture.
Yeah. It's just making it easier for people.
Trying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it sounds like you are, definitely.
Not making it easier for ourselves.
Well, but I hear you on that one.
Yeah.
I wonder, so yeah, joined towards the end of last year, like just how is it going for you? What are you enjoying about being a partner? Is there anything unexpected that's happened? Any connections or opportunities? Or
I don't know anything unexpected. I think it's probably been what I'd expected and hoped. Couple of things, you know, some of the like networking events, I'm very comfortable in my own space, very comfortable with people I know.
Yeah.
Not comfortable walking up to someone and tapping them on the shoulder and going, hello, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Okay.
So that I need to get better at, I have to say. But
Can we just say this is your first podcast and I think you're doing a brilliant job so far. So you need to have more confidence.
I will not be listening back to it. That is for sure. I can't do that. maybe I will. And I know the staff will listen and absolutely love it, but especially if I start fumbling and making mistakes. But I think as I like to learn, I love learning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the most intelligent person you'll ever meet, but I like to learn from business people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I definitely don't know everything. And so if I can be in a room full of like-minded people, listening to different people's different ideas, different views on things.
Mm.
And if there's anything I can take away, then I will. So I think that's been quite nice, whether it's the Shaping Portsmouth Conference, the Shaping Forces, which again, if I'm being honest, I knew nothing about until I joined Shaping Portsmouth. And to be a part of it, and I know we'll only enter in at the bronze stage at this stage, but to do it and know that we can make a small difference is nice.
Yeah, of course.
You know, as a smaller company, you know, we're not at the level of some of your partners, but I like to try and make a bit of a difference where we can. And we can't make, as I say, the bigger differences like some of them, but if we can do our little bit, then, and again, that's very much what I've learned from shaping is you don't have to do it all. If you can do a little bit and help, then, you know, you've done enough probably.
And also, if everybody just did a little bit, the impact of that would be huge.
Yes.
If you think I think we're up to maybe 85 businesses now that are part of the business community and all different scales. And if everyone just made that, you know, 1% difference, then overall, that's like a huge ripple and a huge like step towards making this city kind of the best place to live, to work, to learn, to invest. I'm surprised actually, because I've put here, did anything unexpected happen? And you didn't mention, was it Sophie from your team?
Oh yeah, oh God, blimey, yeah, yes.
That was an unexpected.
I still hold a little bit of resentment against her, because I bought the ticket first and then she bought the ticket and won.
Yes.
But that's okay.
And I was selling the tickets. Imagine how I felt. I was giving all these tickets away and I bought my own and I was thinking, right, I feel lucky today.
Yeah.
And then Sophie had mentioned that she'd already won a raffle,
yes,
like the day before, yeah, or something. Yeah, yeah. And I was thinking, no, that definitely, it can't be Sophie. And it was. So yeah, she won two VIP tickets to Harry Styles.
Yeah. And I thought at that point, if I won that, I was going to be the best dad and boyfriend ever.
Yeah.
I thought, this is my time to shine.
I think everyone was doing that. Because the whole time I was there, I was thinking, oh, right, who am I going to take? I win. Like, I was battling with myself about who would get the other ticket. And that was an amazing prize donated by Inspired Futures.
Yeah,
and how kind and generous that, yeah, and we were able to raise so many funds at that raffle based, yeah, off that.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was. And fair play to them for doing it. And fair play to Sophie. She really enjoyed it. But,
yes.
I was just thinking how many games of golf I could have got if I'd said to my girlfriend, here's Harry Styles tickets.
Some tokens.
I could have, but never mind.
Oh, but I love that. And that's why I think it's all of these different events, like that opportunity, you know,
yeah,
if you weren't in the room at that time, willingly learning more about the Armed Forces Covenant, Sophie wouldn't have had the time of her life at Harry Styles.
Exactly.
I love this. So tell me a bit about, have you got anything exciting coming up at Southern Motor Contracts that you want to share with us?
I suppose there's a couple of bits. As a business, we have got some really nice opportunities with current customers expanding. So we're probably doing one of our biggest turnarounds of a fleet that we've done in a month's period. So normally, let's say a customer comes on board, they have a fleet of vehicles, you tend to do a bit of a transitional change because, mm-hmm, they might have them as existing suppliers and so on and so forth.
Okay.
But we're doing 98 vehicles to one customer in the space of the next, between now and the end of August.
Okay.
So the project started.
Huge.
It is.
Yeah.
For a small company like us, it is, because it started 4 weeks ago. The procurement went through few months ago, but we got awarded it, and then we had to get the vehicles in, we have to get all the livery done, the racking done, the trackers done, we have to arrange logistically to get them to point A, B, C, D, E and F over, mm-hmm, over the county over the course of the next few weeks, ready for their contract to start. And the, like I said, our fleet management, so then we have the admin side of it, ordering the fuel cards, making sure that all the insurance covers in place for them. So when I say we do the whole hog, we procure it, we make sure it's road ready or driver ready, worker ready, and we make sure it's compliant.
And does that include, like, if it needs to get sign written and things like that?
We do all that. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So we really,
we've had to go through
it all.
Yeah, it's been a hectic 6 to 8 weeks.
I'm seeing a really big long things to do list in this project or project plan.
It is, but it's great. As I say, I think that generally is the tiny bit that we do not tiny bit. It's a big bit that we do differently to a lot of your just standard leasing companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really do cradle to grave it.
Okay.
So that they don't have to worry about it. They just, their engineer gets a van that's ready to be driven off, and we even fill it full of diesel so that the engineer doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just those little bits that just make it, you know, what we do. So we've got that going out in the next couple of weeks, because they have to be out by the end of July.
Okay.
So they're all going to start being delivered. So that's nice. And then as a company, as I said at the start, our evolution of car sales, business contract hire, daily rental, flexible hire, fleet solutions. People are a bit confused what we do, how we do it.
Okay.
Even I get confused sometimes, because we're Southern Motor Contracts. We're also Motor Rent as our daily rental side. We're SMC.
Okay.
And so I'm going through a rebrand.
Sure. Right.
So I'm excited, but didn't realise how fussy I was about it.
Okay.
Because again, I don't expect a big hoo-ha over our rebrand, mm-hmm, but I kind of want to do it once.
Yeah,
do
of course.
Quite a nice big impression, you know, over the socials.
Get
and,
it right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, we have a lot of Motor Rent vans driving around. A lot of people will see those Motor Rent vans, but they won't know that they're associated to Southern Motor Contracts.
Okay.
So I need to bring it all in-house.
Yes.
And everyone go, well, actually, that's
and
just
tell
one thing.
The story of it all and how Correct. It links together.
Yeah. Yeah. Because even to the point now, you know, the bit of all-encompassing, that one stop. I bought a garage last year, a workshop in Havant.
Okay.
Because I was getting fed up of all these garage, not fed up of, I understand why they do it now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you've learned a lot.
Yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing. But I bought a garage thinking, well, our customers want a quick turnaround. They don't want to be told by someone that, yeah, we'll service your vehicle in 3 weeks' time. Mm-hmm. They want to know that they're just getting the attention. So I thought, well, the only way I can do that for my customers is if I go and buy a workshop. Mm-hmm. So I bought a workshop. But again, not many of our customers know that. So I can rebrand the workshop with the SMC and rebrand everything so that people start to see, well, actually, yeah, they've got a workshop there. They've got rental vans driving around.
And
make us a bit more of a recognised brand locally.
Yeah, of course. Because, you know, a lot is happening. And you are providing all of these different solutions. So it's just almost like just making that make sense to people.
Yeah. If you think roughly, I guess, I think that we provide Portsmouth City Council, a big customer of ours. We provide them with a lot of lease vehicles and rental vehicles. As I say, some of your other partners, we probably supply nearly 750 to 1,000 vehicles around Portsmouth, Havant, Waterlooville. We've supplied all those.
And
a lot of people don't know it.
Yeah.
And they're all driving around right now.
So
as much as we can't go and splash our name on other people's cars and vans that they're leasing, I understand that. But there is a presence out there. And for us, the rebrand, I hope, will start to build a bit of our presence. As I say, I don't want it all. I just want the good people on side with us that we can look after.
Of course. And what, when you're saying about your kind of standards with this rebrand, so what, where are you at with that? What's been the...
I think the difficult bit is, and I will fully sympathise with the person that's obviously on board doing it on the other. I don't know what I want.
Okay. Oh, right.
I know.
Tricky.
Yeah.
Tricky place to come from that.
Yes. I know I need to modernise.
Yes.
I know I need to have it that it's recognisable as one brand with some sub-brands. But how that looks, what it looks like, how I incorporate it, I don't know. And then on Friday, I finally got to a visual that I thought, you know what, that looks modern, looks quite striking, does what I want. But he kind of said to me, well, I'm not sure about it.
So it's... So you got there and now...
It's difficult. And I understand he's the professional, so I have to be guided by him and sort of, you know. So as I say, it's going to cost us a lot to strip all of our vans and re-sign write them, to do all of our boards at our buildings, you know, that's... It's going to cost us a lot, so I have to get it right.
Yeah, of course.
Because I can't go through staring at it every day and it being wrong.
Oh, of course not. And I think some things can't be rushed, like you say. It's big. So have you got like a timeline for this to happen?
About 2 months ago.
Okay,
all right. I kind of wanted it done because we've got, as I say, you know, big projects happening. We've got two or three more this year, which I didn't actually necessarily think would come off, but they have, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to shout about it with our new branding.
Yeah, hear you.
You know, and even like our rental fleet, we replace it every 3 years, our rental fleet. But I kind of thought, well, maybe I'll do a swap sooner so that I don't have to strip all the old vans and we'll have an influx of new vehicles out on the road. And there's the new branding and, oh, that looks really good and what have you. Because I think, you know, I came out of my house this morning and I look at cars and vans all the time, all the time.
Sure.
And there was a van parked opposite the house and it was obviously a builder, which is fine. But the van must have been, I don't know, 25 years old.
Okay.
But it was immaculate. And I thought, and I looked at it and I thought, wow, that is absolutely immaculate. I'd be proud for that to still be on my fleet.
Yeah.
And I think, as I say, people look at our fleet and say, well, I'm hiring a car from you or I'm hiring a van from you. It's got to be good.
Mm.
Whereas there is other rental companies out there that will run things a lot older, get them a lot more beaten up before they do anything about it.
So your branding needs to really reflect your whole ethos, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, keeping it all nice.
Ideally.
Oh, well, I'm really excited when it does happen. We'll really look out for that.
Hopefully soon.
And we can, we'll showcase it on our website so that, you know, your logo's updated.
Thank you.
Let us know about that.
We will.
Just as we're sort of coming to a close of this conversation, Mark, I wonder a couple of things. What would you say to any local businesses that might be interested in becoming a Shaping partner or member or joining us in some way?
Not just because you're in the room and I'm doing this, or Shaping Portsmouth.
Yes. No pressure. Be kind. But you're very honest. You've already made that clear.
I believe it has added, it showed its value to us.
Sure.
Because I would join if I was looking at it from another business point of view. I think your network is important, not just to be selling to prospective customers, but actually listening, learning, and, you know, just finding out there is new ways of doing things. That for me is definitely something I learned straight away from the first conference that I went to. Mm-hmm. There's lots of things happening in Portsmouth. I know nothing about them. You know, I as a outsider, I live in West Sussex. As an outsider, I didn't realise how big the Portsmouth community is mm-hmm. and how close it is. Mm. And by joining Shaping, I found that out very quickly and I feel more involved in it than I did.
Great. And just to hear in this conversation that you know, you're going to sign the Armed Forces Covenant mm-hmm. and you're hiring an apprentice, and they're two things that you wouldn't have known about, or, you know, you wouldn't have chosen necessarily yep. if you hadn't been part of the community. Like, that's amazing to hear that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. We're going to end now. We always end every episode asking, what is your favourite thing about Portsmouth? Now, it could be a view, it could be a walk, it could be a restaurant. Obviously, you're hanging out in the north of the city, so if there's anything there, any tips, anything that we don't know about happening in the north, then please let us know.
I think, so two answers.
Okay.
First answer is, as I said, I live in Arundel, West mm-hmm. Sussex, and I really like about Portsmouth. I've got a lot of customers, a lot of suppliers, mm-hmm. Charities. I didn't realise how close Portsmouth is to every, you know, once you're involved in the community,
yeah,
it means a lot. And even my staff, you know, they do a lot in the community. They embrace it. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, certainly where I've lived before, not always Arundel, but I've never seen that from a town okay. or a city. Or
you can feel it, can't you?
I generally do, without yeah. sounding too cheesy. You know, you go to the conferences, you talk to different charities, and everyone's mucking in together for Portsmouth. Mm-hmm. So I do, as I say, it's a bit of a cheesy answer, but I do like that. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, I enjoy drink and socialising. There's loads of places to drink and socialise.
There is. Do you have a favourite place that you visit, or
not
anywhere?
Not really.
The beer is cold.
Yeah. And I like good food. I like good beer. I like good wine. So I generally don't have a favourite, but I know that if you go down to Gunwharf on a Saturday and the sun's shining, yeah. it's going to be buzzing.
Yes.
And, you know, even the north of the side of the town, you know, Port Solent or where, you know, yeah. you go around all these places that I foolishly, maybe I shouldn't, and I don't want to offend anyone, I associate with Portsmouth.
Yes.
And there's lots of places to eat and drink, and that's yeah. probably one of my favourite things.
And when on a sunny day, like, you could be sat in Gunwharf, like, you could be anywhere in yep. the world, I think. Same for Port Solent. Like, if the sun's shining, there's so much, like, that it's just a beautiful place to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
And throw in a nice cold glass of wine or a...
I'm not going to complain.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were down at Gunwharf last week for the Motivate Ab sale. So
amazing.
Yeah, four of the staff did that and got involved.
Did they?
Yeah.
And how did they get on?
Oh, brilliantly. Amazing. Yeah. Raised a good amount of money, but just to see their faces before
yeah.
and then the faces after was fantastic. And it was, you know, so me and Megan, my other half, she did it. Mm-hmm. And we went and had breakfast afterwards and sat in the sun, you know, having
lovely.
Breakfast. And it's just... That it's a good place to go. I enjoy it.
And also because you're all probably like high from the community yes. spirit and the adrenaline and
yeah.
Oh, well, congratulations to all of your team and your partner for doing that. I've loved learning more, Mark, and thank you for your honesty.
That's okay.
And yeah, thanks for being part of the Shaping family. And yeah, just look forward to your rebrand, and thank you for making time for us when you're right in the middle of this big
project. No, thank you for having me. It's been really good. I enjoyed it.
Was it too painful for your first time?
No, I actually felt very comfortable
still
talking into this big microphone in front of my face.
Amazing. Well, it's been lovely to chat to you. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Shaping Portsmouth, working to make Portsmouth the number one UK city in which to invest, live, learn, work and visit. To find out more, please visit shapingportsmouth.co.uk. This podcast was supported by Spark Community Space and Portsmouth Community Lottery.